But Satan starts his battles that way. And he attacks, and then there's an engagement of power where two different sides are engaged. And the most powerful side is always going to win the battle every time. And once the most powerful side has won the battle, then a prisoners are taken. And then they're led away. Last night I had woke up in the middle of the night with a battle going on in my mind. And I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up in the night without any particular thoughts. I'd just wake up and go back to bed. And I was not sleeping well. Usually I toss and turn 5 or 10 seconds before I go to sleep. But last night, I just couldn't get to sleep. And then I realized this battle was going on inside of me. And I began to listen to what the voices were saying. And it was a wearisome anxiety, worry that was deep down inside of my heart. And it had come out in my dreams. And I began to listen to it. And I thought, this is a good time to practice what I've been teaching my church. And within a few minutes, I had expelled the enemy, had substituted those thoughts that he had put in my mind in the night watches, and was experiencing victory, and I went on to sleep. Now, I want us to, this first part of the message, I would like for you to visualize what it means to capture a prisoner, and I think we're going to see that here on the screen here in just a moment, of a prisoner who's being taken away, having become captive. That's what this message is all about in our thought life, because these thoughts that I had last night were an attack from Satan, and if I would have let him, he would have taken me prisoner, just like these prisoners, and he would have kept me in torment maybe all the rest of the night. How many of you have ever woke up in literal torment because of thoughts that you've had that were going on in your mind? You were being taken prisoner. But what we have been teaching in these last 5 Sundays is how we are to take every thought captive for Christ. So we are the ones that's going to be leading captive these thoughts away, and they will have been captured for Jesus. And actually Christ will become the captor as he leads that procession of our thought life. So I was trying to envision how that would take place, and so I wanted you to take a look at that as we begin this sermon today. Now, the thoughts that we think in our hearts and minds are thoughts which define us and defile us, are the thoughts that are proceed from our heart. Now, it's one thing to think about thoughts that are only in your mind, and the other thing is thoughts that are coming from your heart. After this message today, what we have been talking about is the war and the battle that's going on between your mind, between your eyes. It's the thoughts that come into your mind's eye during the day. But the thoughts that really define you, that characterize who you really are not thoughts of the mind, but thoughts that come from the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. See, you're defined not by the thoughts that just go through your mind, but thoughts that come deep from within you, from your heart. And what we are going to be looking at in the following sermon, in the following messages, is how to get the thoughts that come into our mind, the right thoughts, into our heart, because that's where they really count. The thoughts that define us are the ones that come deep from within our heart. And the thoughts that defile us are the ones that come from deep within our heart. Listen to what Jesus said about this. He said, those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Now, Jesus mentions a part of a person's heart where all these evil sins can come out of. And those are the things that defile a person. That's what makes a person either righteous or unrighteous in their practice, in the life that they're living, and that you can be living a life that is a defiled life before God, because out of your heart are coming all of these kind of evil thoughts, evil ideas that spring out from you. But there are many thoughts that are just come through your mind that are not truly a part of your heart. And those, like, for example, when you meet somebody during the day, you just meet them and you introduce yourself to them, you're mostly just dealing with the upper level of your mind, not the deep, lower level of your heart. Now, I want you to take a look at this glacier, and I'll try to explain what I'm talking about here. All of us have seen these pictures of glaciers. Can you see that, the top of it? The top of it is just a little bit of it, but the real part of that glacier is buried deep, deep down below the surface of the water. God has created us in our minds and our hearts that way. Our mind is just a little surface that's sticking up above. But the heart, the deepness of the heart, is deep down inside of a man. The Bible calls it, in the Old Testament, his belly. For example, Jesus said that, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For as the Scripture says, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not out of the top of his mind, but deep down out of his belly, it says. And that's a hollow, literally a hollow place deep inside of a person. That's where love needs to come from. That's where the thoughts of God can saturate a person's heart and mind. But a lot of us live such a superficial life. We're only living in the mental, logical, thinking part of our mind. That's when a person is saved. Are they saved because of something they believe in their mind or because of something they believe in their heart? The Bible says it is with the heart that a man believes unto righteousness, not just in his head. See, a lot of people believe in their head in Jesus Christ. He's a historical figure, but deep down in their heart, they've never really believed him. They've never trusted him or put their whole future into his hands. That is something that comes from a person's heart. You don't give a person your whole life from your head. You'd be crazy to do that. But if you give your heart to someone, you give your whole destiny to them. You give your life to them. You give everything that's in you. You do it from your heart. The relationships that satisfy us the most in life are the relationships that is heart to heart. The deepest part of you and the deepest part of me. The Bible says deep calls unto deep. That means there's something in the deep down in the side of a person that wants relationship with others. That's what I have. That's why I love being in church. Because these are not superficial relationships. These are deep relationships for me. Loving relationships. I love your family. I love your kids. Even those mean ones. And you love mine too. And because we love each other from the, we have a heart relationship, a heart love, see. And a lot of things that we, when Satan speaks to us, he's speaking to our mind with an attempt to get to capture our hearts. And many people cannot get away from him because their hearts have been captured by him. Their hearts have become prisoners of war. And so he has them. So what we're wanting to understand how to do is how to get the thoughts of our mind to do battle there, but to think thoughts that come from deep within our hearts for our life. Like things happen to us that it's just a head thing. Like you have relationships with people you meet in Walmart. You might ask how they're doing. You might care and you might not really care, but it's a polite thing to do, right? And you know people deal with you all that time. That's kind of head-to-head relationships. And a lot of times we don't understand whether we're thinking from our heart or we're just thinking thoughts that have run through our mind. And we think a lot of times that we don't have to control these thoughts. But if you don't control the thoughts that run through your mind and they keep running through your mind, one day they'll be centered in your heart. They will have gone through some sort of transformation where they are actually a part of you. And as a man thinketh in his heart, there he is. See, so you are what you are in your heart. And that's what God is mostly concerned about. Let me illustrate some of these things. The other day, somebody called on the telephone and asked me if I wanted something, and I said no. Was that from my heart or mind? That was just from my mind. Didn't even think about it. I mean, it hit no desires. It meant nothing that I wanted down deep in my life. It was easy to just say no. Let me give you another illustration. 10 years ago, Carolyn and I were traveling to Truman. I was following her. We were going to Rick and Tanya's house. She was about to turn off the road, following an old truck, and the guy that was driving the old truck, a man and a couple of ladies, they stopped right there and started talking with another man who was about to turn onto the highway, and there was me and Carolyn right behind them. Well, we were just stuck there, right out on the street. So we sat there for a minute, and Carolyn tooted the horn politely, and he politely gave her the finger and stayed there and talked for another 5 minutes while I fumed back there in the back. Well, finally, he took off, but he left his arm out like this, extended the finger for about a quarter of a mile down the road and just creeping along and the women laughing. Well, I got fed up. And finally, I passed Carolyn and passed and got right beside him, and I said, "Pull off the road. I'm going to teach you something." He pulled his hand in, and he wouldn't pull off the road. Now, did that come from my head or from my heart? You help me. No, that came from my heart. While it was in my head, I didn't act. But when it got in my heart, I acted. And so I drove up the road. But here's the thing. One, I got to thinking, that's my wife that you're doing that to. And I thought, she don't deserve that, you idiot. You were there stopping traffic. And then I thought, besides, if anybody's going to do that to her, it's going to be me. That's my job. And you're not going to do it. So I drove up the road, scratched that other. That was from my head. That was not from my heart. Yeah, that was not. But I went up the road, and I stopped at Rick and Tanya's, and I got out, and I was ready to go to war. But he would not stop when he came by. And it was a good thing for both of us. It was a great thing. Now, I think that's just about 10 years ago, and I've gotten my heart right with God since then, you know, about things like that. Because I thought at that time, I would never do something like that. I didn't think I would do that, but why did I do that? It was still in my heart, see? And I don't think I would do that today. I'm too old, for one thing. You know? I'm smarter than that. But see, you act out of what's in your heart. You speak what's in your heart. You can learn what's in your heart. This is not, I'm jumping ahead to next Sunday. But you can learn what's really in your heart. You can learn what you really believe, what your true beliefs are, by a careful analysis of what you keep saying over and over again, what you return to, of your behavior. If someone studies your behavior and the things, not that you say, but the things that you actually do, they will discover what's in your heart. But how to change that, I want to tell you, is a hard, difficult thing to change your ways in your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, God, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, David prayed, because he realized that in this deep part of the glacier there that represented the mind, there are thoughts that you don't even know that are there until they come out in your action with the thing you keep saying, with the thing you return to, with the ways that you keep going toward. That will eventually work its way down into a belief, and we'll talk about that later. But here's what I wanted we're working on today. We're learning how to capture the thoughts that come into our minds, because we have all kinds of thoughts that come in there. We need to learn when Satan is putting his thoughts into our minds like he was last night. With me lately, of course, I'm 67 years old. I've been preaching for 40, pastoring for 42 or 3 years, something like that. I've read through the Bible in different translations over and over again. In my first 10 years of my life, I read through a different translation every year, and I tried to studying. I've studied and studied. So I've been trying to catch the devil in my mind while I'm conscious, and I can do it. I catch him all the time, and I get him out of there quickly. But I've learned to do that. When I'm asleep, my conscious mind is asleep. And that's when Satan can do more damage to me at times, like he did last night. And he's able to attack sometimes like that. But whenever you're attacked, whether you're conscious or whether you're unconscious, asleep, or in your subconscious moments, here are the ways that you learn to defeat him. Now, you have to know these things about your thoughts. Those thoughts that come from our heart, they're the ones that really define us and defile us. Our natural thoughts run counter to the thoughts of our supernatural Creator. Now, what I mean by that is this. The Bible tells us that God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, but as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." Most of us have an indescribable desire to live our life from our own understanding, from our own way of thinking. And we try to do that in the Christian life, and we can't do that. You can't be successful against the devil trying to do war with him in your own natural way of thinking, because God's way is so much higher than our way. Even the devil's way of deceiving you. He has so many people deceived in their own hearts and lives about themselves because they have not learned how to subject their natural mind and their natural way of thinking to a supernatural God's words and what he tells us is the right way for us to be thinking. Now, the third thing that I want us to see about our thoughts before we look at how we attack Satan is this, that we understand that our natural way of thinking is counter to God, but it's also destructive and tends toward the ways of death. The Scripture says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And two times in the book of Proverbs, it says the very exact same thing, using the exact same words to indicate this, that the way we think, if we plan our life upon our thoughts rather than God's thoughts, we're going to wind up in a ditch. We're going to wind up with destruction. We're going to wind up with some form of death in our life, and it may be take all different kinds of forms. But our thinking is totally biased to ourselves. The Bible says a man's ways are always right in his own eyes. It's amazing how we can justify what we do on a regular basis, how we can rationalize why it's all right for us to do different things. But the Bible says that's our way of thinking, and it leads to death, and it leads to destruction. So what do we do when Satan's thoughts are shot at us during the day? What are the processes that we do that enables us to overcome him? Here's the first thing I wanted to share with you. You've got to learn to live and walk with an abiding presence of God in your life all the day long. You need to practice this all the day. Most of us are, when we're in, I think, young Christians often, they might only think about God, you know, well, I've got to be at church on Sunday, and that's it for them. And a lot of people think, well, I've showed up for Sunday, so that's what I've done. But what it means to really live a life as a Christian, you actually become a follower of Jesus Christ. He is, you develop an abiding presence of his fellowship with him every day of your life so that he's there instantly speaking to you. And, you know, the other day I met with a pastor, and I was sharing with him some things that were personal, and we met for a little while, had a good interaction, and I had driven off not more than 5 minutes and was smitten with conviction about one thing that I said. I didn't think of that myself, because when I said it to him, I didn't think anything about it. But 5 minutes later, I was suddenly smitten with conviction about it. Can you explain that to me, how that happened? Yeah, it was, I live in an abiding presence of Christ. And when I said that, he didn't like it. God didn't like that. He was not, that was not something he was proud of that I said. And so I called him up immediately, and I couldn't get a hold of him. I would have been bothered all the day long with that And it's not that I didn't think that God forgave me. I initially said, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to try to learn better than this. And I know the Lord forgave me, but I had to finally got a hold of him about 3 hours later. And he said, oh, well, I wasn't offended, Brother James, about that. And I said, well, I don't think you were either, but it offended God. You know, and God, it's just not what I should have said. And so I want you to forgive me. He said, well, certainly, man, he said, I understand things like that because he said, my own sanctification, so I've got my hands full with it. And I said, well, I appreciate that understanding. But here's what I'm talking about. You've got to have, if you don't abide in Christ and you don't walk with him, Satan is going to pick you off with his darts all the time. He's going to, and you won't even know what's happening to you. You'll have feelings that you don't feel right about. You'll have thoughts. You'll be depressed. You won't be yourself. You won't be able to concentrate or focus. And what it is Satan has captured your thoughts. And you've got to learn when that happens to take them back from him and lead those thoughts captive to Christ. Now, to abide in Christ means this. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, God says when you are abiding in him, you'll be able to have your way in life because your way in life is God's way. You'll have your relationships will begin to pan out. You'll begin to be able to have peace in your heart and life because you're walking with the Prince of Peace. He said, and if my words abide in you, you shall ask you what you will. It'll be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. In other words, your life will take on something that will be a really wonderful experience of doing the things that God wants you to do every day, and you'll be finding fruit. Now, how many of you, when you get up and go to work, that's when you stop abiding with Christ? Because he certainly is not going to go into your workplace with you. That's too evil a place. And so you lose sight of him there. You lose sight of what he's doing there, and you walk in there, and you start just living under the guns of Satan. You know, that could be a scenario for some people. Did you know God can turn your workplace into a mission field? He can turn your workplace into a place where you are loving it because you're learning to minister in the name of Jesus. And you have the love of God in your heart. By the way, when you're walking with Christ and you've got this abiding presence of God, and really, I don't think that most Christians that I know don't live this way. They don't live with an abiding presence of Christ in their life. And I lose mine from time to time. A place that I'm prone to lose it is on the road, on the highways. I need to remind myself every time I get out there in the traffic, you know, that that Christ is still with me. You know, and he is helping me. Somebody said he's my co-pilot. Well, he ought to be your pilot. Amen. That's the problem. He's sitting in the wrong seat. He shouldn't be the co-pilot. He needs to be the captain. But we need to develop this awareness of Christ all the time, and we'll know how to deal with Satan as soon as those fiery darts start being hurled toward us. Now, when we let his words abide in us, God's thoughts are always in perfect harmony with his words. Now, what I mean by this is a lot of times that we don't understand what God's thoughts are for us today, what we should be doing today. But the Bible says that God's thoughts, they're so multiple, they're like the sands of the sea, that he thinks about you daily. Did you know that? That if we can number them, the psalmist said, oh, the thoughts that you have toward me, God, how pleasant and wonderful they are. If I could number them, they would be like the sands of the sea. In other words, God has so many wonderful thoughts about your life and for you, that if you were able to capture them one by one, it'd just be one right after the other. But it's enough for us just to have a few of them. Like, if when you're starting on your way to work, that's God's thoughts for you. On your way to work, he is wanting you to be rejoicing with him. Maybe listening to Christian music or maybe praying. But all throughout the day, God has thoughts for you that if you would just be involved in his thoughts, your whole mind would be filled with what is called a spiritual mindset. You become a spiritually in tune person because the Satan is hard for him to get a shot in to a person who is filling up his life with these kind of thoughts from God and is checking in with God all the time. Like I don't like to listen to music on the personally that much. I like to listen to a few songs, especially, boy, this one that Brother Mark, I'm glad that Brother Mike has moved out on us here, but that Brother Mark shared with us here today about what we believe in God. I believe about the Holy Spirit and about God and all of these things. We need to be thinking thoughts like this through the day. Like the Bible says, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, what he's talking about is just taking a few verses and having them guide you and direct you and speak to your heart through the day, and you have the living thoughts of God injected into your mind that will one day be deposited in your heart, and they'll come from your heart. Then they'll be able to come out of your deeper, innermost being, and it will change the way you talk, change the way you think, change the way you feel, and change the things that you do day by day. When these words of Christ get into your heart, they start in your mind, filling your mind up. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How did he hide a thought of God in his heart? The only way you can do that is to get it in your mind first and play it over and over in a couple of forms that the Bible calls meditation. A good song, a good music is also a good way to take God's word. Carol and I memorize so much of God's word through scripture songs that we, back in the 70s, there was a kind of a movement to put the scriptures to music. And some people were just geniuses in doing this. And boy, music itself was good, and the words were God's words, and they just saturate your heart and mind. So when you have a mind that is being filled with God's words and you're learning what it means to meditate on those, then you are building something that's in your heart that Satan is not able to get through. So that it will cause your behavior to be what you really want it to be. It'll cause your sweet spirit to invade your life. How many of you would really like to be kinder in your voice and with your words, especially with your kids, grandkids, or different ones? See, you don't have kindness in your heart yet. That's why it comes out that way. You may want to be kind, but when you get kindness, the thought of kindness in your heart, it will come out. And even that sometimes when you maybe are very angry, you might miss and speak something out that's not really what you want to. But if that's the case, you will immediately ask God's forgiveness and go back and get that patched up in your heart. Heart work is hard work. And it begins with you in your mind deciding that you're going to let God's word really develop in your mind. And the more you do that, and the more you're consistent in doing this, and there's some other things we'll share next Sunday, you'll get God's word not only in your mind so you can quote it, but in your heart so you can live it out and experience it. So these words of Christ, and he wants us to get in our hearts and lives. What I just mentioned, what it means to meditate. There are two of the greatest promises about changing your life and bringing your life into a success that all of us really want, and it comes about through meditation. I remember when I learned this about 25 years ago, the question was asked to me, what is God guaranteed that if you do, if you'll do this, that everything that you do will start prospering, that you'll find a prosperity coming into your life, in your physical life, in your financial life, in your relationships, and in your happiness and joy, that you'll find things working out for you? And the answer was to learn what it means to meditate. Listen to this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, and his leaf also shall not perish, and everything that he does shall prosper. To meditate in God's word day and night. Now, what that means is that when you go to bed at night, you go to bed meditating. That's the last thing I do every night is to meditate. And I usually use the same scripture, Psalms 23. I don't really know of a better scripture to use than that. I'll use some others just because of variety's sake. But as I was going to bed the other night, three of those three words or three phrases just stood out to me so much from that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, he makes me lay down in green pastures. And the green pastures, I begin to visualize me walking through this beautiful valley, and there were just lush green pastures, grass that came up high. And I could smell it as I lay there, and I walked through that, and I could just reach down and pick up some of it and eat it, and the sweetness to my taste. I can just go to sleep thinking about these green pastures that God leads us in. By the way, I think we're experiencing one right now. This is a green pasture. It's a place where God's feeding us. The thoughts, I want to tell you, the thoughts of that satisfy the desires of your heart and meet the needs of your heart is food indeed. That helps you. It's a green pasture. It's God giving you everything that you need in life. But he leads us also, he says, beside the still waters. And I can just see this beautiful little pond of water and a little river that was trickling down there. But this had ponded up, was dammed up, and you could wade in it. It was just crystal clear and so refreshing. These are life experiences that God gives us, and he wants us to get from his word and learn to meditate on what his word says. To meditate in the Eastern religions is to empty your mind so that actually demons can possess you. The Eastern mystics and demons will, when a person empties their mind, they're inviting demonic forces to come in or anybody else to come in. Whatever you put in your mind, how many of you know that's exactly what comes out of it? So what in Christian meditation, you are taking God's word and filling your mind with it. But you're focusing on a small passage of it, a small words of it, and you're turning them over in your mind. And that word, meditation, actually comes from a word that means rumination. And you know, how many of you know what that means, to ruminate? It's what old Daisy used to do. It means to chew the cud. And our old Daisy would, early in the morning, she would get out there in the pasture and be eating the grass and the sun be shining. And then she would finally decide she needed to go to the shade, get up under the shade. We had a big old trough. You remember that, Lynn? We'd pump that water into that big old trough. And Daisy would sit there, and what would she do after she drank that water? She'd look up. Drank that water dripping down from her old mouth and chew the cud. What she was doing, and she was, cows have three or four bellies or five, I don't remember how many they are, but they eat that grass so quickly, they just chomp it down. They can just clean a field up. And then they get back and they get to thinking how good that was. They didn't have a chance to really enjoy it. And she just, whoop, belches it back up. That comes right back up out of one of those bellies, and she chews her again, you know. And she gets the good out of it. And so that's a good picture of what it means to meditate. I mean, you can read one scripture. That's all you have to have, and go with that one scripture, maybe that one phrase, and ruminate on it and chew the cud and turn it over in your mind. You can find a world in one verse. A world that can create love and pleasure and joy and direction in your life. So God wants us to learn to take his word and turn it into our life so that we become that word. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. So we want to get God's word until it becomes our life. I know this is a little bit difficult to grab a hold of. I know it is. These are concepts biblically and spiritually that defy human reasoning. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And you take God's word, and every bit word of God has power. Every word that came from God has life. Every word written in these books, its origin is spirit. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." And in the book of Luke, the Bible tells us that every word has power. So here's what happens. All of a sudden in our day, we're not expecting it, but the enemy begins to shoot at us. What is he shooting? He's shooting thoughts into our mind. They penetrate our mind. How many of you have ever been having a good day, and then you remember what so-and-so did? What so-and-so said to you? And all of a sudden you think, how dare did she say that to me? Or who does he think he is? So where did that come from? Did that come from the Bible? Was you reading in the book of the scripture and reminded you of that? No, it didn't. Satan put that thought in your mind. Or maybe here's another evil thought. You see something and all of a sudden a thought that you shouldn't have in your mind. We have all kinds of pornographic things hanging around us all the time. On the highway, on television, everywhere else. And you see something and all of a sudden you just looked at it. That's not a sin, but all of a sudden thoughts begin to develop. And those thoughts may not just be coming from you. They may be coming from the enemy of your soul. And so you've got to intercept these thoughts from the devil and turn them into a thought from God. Because here's one of the things about, as you study the mind and you study the phenomenon of thought life, that your mind can only think one thought at a time. That's all. And the thought that you give the most credence to will overpower the opposing negative thought that is trying to come in. Like, have you ever had a negative thought about your spouse? Perhaps Carolyn says, "You have not taken out the trash in 3 days. I've had to do it for 3 days." That immediately sparks a negative thought in my mind when something like that happens. Now, and so what I can say, "Well, do you realize what I've been doing for these last 3 days?" And I probably got that thought myself, but the devil might have put his power on it and his spin on it, and it might have come out real rough. But let's try this, Carol, and see if we can illustrate this. "I haven't taken the trash out in 3 days. How does that usually make you feel?" Okay, so you just tell me. Just like you would tell me that. Well, no, just Lord, I know that. I want you to just say, "Hey, you haven't done."
"You've not taken the trash out in a month."
Okay, here I am. All of a sudden, the devil goes, "He's vulnerable. I'm about to say something." What does the Bible say about speaking without thinking? Is it? Okay, the Bible says, "Be slow to speak," because Satan's got, whoosh, he's got her, he's got the thing ready to go. And I can say, "Did you know what I've been doing for 3 days? I know I have. Why didn't you?" All of a sudden, see, that's not sweet, Brother James. That's the old man suddenly in captivity of Satan's thoughts, and I can say something that could be hurtful and negative, and then, if she is walking with Jesus, she might be able to say, "Okay, I just wanted you to know." But likely, she might not say that. Likely, she's able, might find some other thoughts coming in her mind. And over here, there's another demon. He gets out his and points it at me. And he's ready to let fly as soon as she opens her mouth. And out of her heart comes words. And I know how to hurt her, and she knows how to hurt me. And even though we love each other and we don't want to, if we let the devil get in front of us with our thoughts, these demons, They will be pulling up stuff from the past to shoot into the heart of the person we love the very most. But if we have been saturating our heart and mind with the God's word, then we can say some things like this. Okay, let's start it all over again. No. No, just any way you want to do it.
Okay, now which version?
Just whatever you're feeling right now about this. Okay, this trash. I didn't carry the trash out for 3 days. Okay, well, you said it sweet. It's easy for me to handle that. Oh, you know, well, that's okay. Never mind. All right. Okay.
Because I know what to say.
Okay. All right.
You've not carried the trash out in 3 days, and I'm getting really tired of doing
it. I'm waiting. I remember what God said. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, I'm sorry. I should have just slipped my mind. I've been busy, but I'm going to get this done right away. I want you to point it out to me whenever you see this again. Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay. Okay. Amen. Okay.
His demon and my demon. And one of the things that has really helped.
Her demon's pretty powerful.
One of the things that's really helped me is to catch the demons. And when I catch the demon, here's what I do. I say, I usually agree with James. If he's saying something negative to me, I'll say, you're right, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that. I'll try to do better. But if we're in a conflict and we're, the other thing that we'll do, and it really diffuses the devil, and that is to say, we need to pray. And so as we, no matter how mad we might be, because we do get mad, not as much as we used to, 49 years. But anyway, we'll pray, and that really takes away all the power of the devil. And whoever was right doesn't mind being wrong.
Right. And, you know, when you can fail to yield, because the Bible says the tongue is a little member, and it's set on the fires of what? What does that mean, that your tongue can be set on the fires of hell? What it means is that Satan can literally get in your soul and speak his fiery, hurtful, painful words right out through your mouth. And none of us want to be used by the devil that way, especially with people we love. And so we have to learn to get our minds full of God's word and do the things that I'll be talking about next week more, to how to get them into our hearts so that we can speak the truth of God from our hearts to our spouse and to people that we love, because life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Every day we're eating either from a sweet tree or the bitter tree of what our own words have created, because every word spoken is like a seed put into the ground that's going to grow up and produce fruit, whether it's bitter or whether it's sweet. These come from God's word, which produces good, sweet, wholesome, growing words that will help us in life, or from Satan, which he has no other agenda but to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, as we close today, repeating this process, when you catch these words coming from you or wanting to materialize in your mind, you need to have a strategy of how to use them. Like, for example, in this case, I'll say me and Carolyn, if we're having the sweetest times I've ever had in my life is with Carolyn, studying the Bible, being on vacation, being with our grandkids, being with kids, and having just heaven in the home. But we've had some hell in our home. And because we have not followed this at times. And so I just go back to the words of Moses. He said, man, all of these precepts that God's given you, these are not to hurt you. These are to bless you. God's commandments are to help you, to give you days that are as the days of heaven on the earth. So that's what we could have when we begin to seize these thoughts that are coming from the enemy and reject them. And sometimes when you have a thought that keeps coming back that you don't want to think, then here's what you need to do. You need to say, Satan, out loud, I reject these thoughts, and I reject you and all of your works, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And you'll see these thoughts just crumble under the power of God. And then you can say, for it is written, and quote a scripture, and that's the power of God in these high places that gets rid of the enemy of our souls. Now, next week I want to preach and teach about how to become a heart person and teach you how to work on your heart, because there are things, haven't there been things in your life that you wanted to get out, but still they're there. And so they're in your heart. You've got to discover what you're really believing that has caused you to develop that way. And once you do, you're going to see how easy that some of these things will be to change. But it may be difficult finding out what really is in our heart. So we'll talk about that next time. Let's bow our heads here for just a moment. And I'm teaching myself how to, where I'm at in my life right now, here's what I want. God has put the desires in my heart that I would live for Him 24/7. That I can be a channel to bless other people. That I can be a Christ man. That I can be like Him with my wife, with my kids, with my grandkids. That with my friends, I'd treat them like Jesus would treat them. Like I would find out and see lost people in their lostness and want to share my faith with them. When these things are in your heart, people feel it. When these are coming from a depth in you, people cannot ignore it. And they may not agree with you, and they may not like you. But if you could speak from your heart the words of God and speak words in love, you will affect everyone around you in a good way. You'll be able to be light to a world of darkness. You'll be able to be salt that can heal wounds and heal many, many things that's in your own life as well as in the life of your kids and your spouse. Because all of us have been hurt and wounded. We're in the battle every day. We may go through the battle and being shot at and not even realize it. But when you come to realize it and you reject those thoughts, you open your heart to the mind of God. He's been thinking 1,000 thoughts about you today. How much He loves you. How much He wants good for you. Oh, taste. See that the Lord is good. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. He wants to bless you with His presence. And you've got to win this battle for your mind. I want you to say, in your heart and mind right now, you don't have to say it out loud, but you can. You can whisper it, but make sure you say it in your heart. I am going to win the battle for my mind. I'm going to have the mind of Christ as much as I can, and I reject all that Satan has tried to get me to believe, try to understand. I choose to believe God. If you're here without Christ, you can so easily come to be a child of His. It is easy because He has finished the work for us. The Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. With the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, God is able to bring you in from a child of darkness into a child of light. In one instant, He can do it. You have to repent of your sins. You can't hold on to your sins. You have to repent of them and turn away. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. You got to change your mind about God and turn to Him. You've got to put your faith in Jesus. You've got to make Him the boss of your life. That's the only reasonable thing, isn't it? That Jesus would be Lord of your life. If you're willing to do that today, would you pray this simple prayer? Would you say, God, today I repent of my sins. Today I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Today I'm making you the boss of my life. If that's your prayer, would you just lift your hand up in the air just a moment? Just hold it up if that's your thought. And I know that all of you know you're following God in your life. Why don't you just, in this last prayer, as Brother Paul leads us, why don't you just say, Lord, this battle I've had in this area, I'm going to learn what your word says about that area. And And that's what I'm going to be saying to myself all the day long. Brother Paul, would you offer our closing prayer, please?